Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
You got your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. A couple of weeks ago, I got to preach down at Sulphur. I was just talking about and preached the same scripture, but I'm going to have a different thought tonight, different direction. Last time I preached on the shepherd of Israel. But today we're going to go a different route, and I'll go over the thought when I get to it. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 32, I'm going to read this and we'll give you a little bit of background before we get on into it. Bible says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Talking about Goliath. Thy servant will go and will fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he had rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me. Yeah. Out of the hand of this Philistine. Amen. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, means he hesitated, he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hands, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. And so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even to Gath, and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it into Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. We'll stop our reading right about there. You may be seated. As I was reading this just now, I never noticed this, but the Philistine he's talking about is Goliath. We know the story of David and Goliath. But I want you to notice something. Goliath wasn't mentioned but about one time or two times. When the battle began, the Goliath's name was not mentioned anymore. He was just but a Philistine in the sight of David, and he was just but a Philistine, an uncircumcised Philistine, in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. He wasn't no great big man. Goliath, they say, was about 9 feet, almost 10 feet tall. Amen. He was so big that he had a mail and armor and all this stuff that weighed so many shekels of weight. It tells us he was so bogged down with that stuff that he had to have his own shield bearer that stood before him. And that's who he was talking about earlier. Amen. But he wasn't too big for God. Amen. I'm glad today that David was confident in the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts means the God of armies. Amen. You remember when Jesus was on the cross and he was talking about, do you not think that I could command 12 legions of angels? God is a God of the army of hosts of heaven. Amen. More than the stars of heaven we could even number. God is a God of armies. Amen. And ain't no man, no woman too big what God can't bring them to their knees. Amen. And I want to tell you, I'm glad that he believed in the Lord his God. I'm glad that he had faith in the Lord his God. And I'm glad he knew God personally, had a personal relationship with him. Amen. He was, boy, let me slow down here. Boy, this is getting good. Amen. But he knew his God personally. Bible said that David was a man that was after God's own heart. I believe that means he chased after God. He wanted to know about God. He wanted to have a conversation with God. He wanted to have a relationship with God, just like he had with Jonathan. Jonathan was the boy of Saul, and they had just a close-knit relationship. Amen. As close as brothers could ever be. I mean, and I believe he had that kind of relationship with God.
Right.
You see, for you to know God, not only must you be born again, amen, but you must have a continual relationship with the Lord, with God today. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, don't cut it. Amen. It is a 24-7, 365-day-a-year relationship. Amen. If I only saw my wife on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, we wouldn't have much of a relationship. Amen. But it's sad to say most of the church today has just that kind of relationship with God today.
Lord,
amen. It's time. We wake up out of our sleep, and it's time, thank you, brother, for that water. It's time that we started getting down to business with God. Started getting serious. Amen. Maybe when you walk in the door from work, you say, hello, honey, I love you. And then you start talking to God. Amen. Maybe when you get home from fishing, you say, hello, kids, it's good to see you. Had a good day. And then you start talking to God. Amen. Why not include the Lord in your conversation? Why not include Him in your day-to-day walk with Him? Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to get closer.
Yes,
I want to have the kind of relationship that David had, that Abraham had, that Moses had. Moses got to want to see God so much. He said, God, just show me your glory. He said, I can show you, but my backside, my back part. He said, but before you see the glory, he had to get in the rock. Before he saw the glory of God, he had to get in a cleft of a rock. And if you're going to see the Lord today, if you're going to have a relationship with Him, you got to get in there and you got to stay committed to Him and you got to sup with Him. Jesus said in the 3rd chapter of Revelation, if I knock and you open, my Father and me will come in and we'll sup together. We'll have communion. We'll have a relationship. I don't know if I'm going to get to what I'm supposed to be preaching or not. The Lord's just taking this in a different way. But I want you to notice here, David went up against that Goliath. Hey man, the backstory, you could read a little bit before this and you'll see all the backstory with this. David was coming, Goliath was coming up. He was yelling out all kinds of threats. Israel was shaking in their boots. Their knees were knocking. They was worried to death how they was going to overcome this man day after day. He'd come down to the side of the valley and the mountain. And he began to rail on Israel, begin to talk to him. He began to just downplay him all the time, insult him. And we see when David comes out, he has that stab in his hand. Bible gives us 5 S's that he took with him. Amen. In verse 40, it said he took his staff and he took 5 smooth stones and he put them in the shepherd's bag, which was a scrip. And it said his sling was in his hand. God gave him everything he needed. He didn't need Saul's armor. He didn't need all that chain mail. He didn't need that sword that Saul had. You see, they didn't feel right in his hands. Something was off about that sword. Something was off about that armor. And he said, I've not proved these. There ain't no way I'll go out with battle with these. I began to think about this as I studied it today, and I began to think over there in 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. It said, "No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life,
amen,
that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier."
Yes, amen.
So many churches, so many people today getting themselves tangled up with things that they haven't proved, things that they haven't took to battle, things that just won't fit. Amen. This armor did not fit David. It was meant for someone else. Saul began to rail on him, began to say, "You can't go out and fight this old giant. He's a man of war from his youth, and you're just a little bit old you." Paul told Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth."
That's right.
Let no man despise thy youth. Goliath began to rail and accuse him, began to tell him, "Am I a dog that you come out of here with just a little staff?" He didn't like him. He disdained him. The Bible said he disdained him. He just couldn't stand him because he was a young man. He was ruddy, and he was just a little old spoiled brat looking of a kid. He said, "This little old runt's going to come out here against me. I'm going to feed his flesh to the fowls of the air."
Yep.
But David was not scared. You see, David had been in this kind of situation before.
Right.
David began to tell Saul. Saul began to tell him all these excuses. "Oh, you're too young. He's been warring since his youth. You're too inexperienced."
Right.
You know what David said? Come down here. Come on, guys.
Come on, David.
Come
on.
Oh, use him,
Lord.
Use him, Lord.
Oh, I feel the Lord in here tonight.
Yes, sir. Come on.
I'm glad he's here.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad he's here with us.
Have your way, Lord.
Bless him, Lord.
He told me, begin to tell Saul, he began to tell him, "You know, I've already been through something like this before." He said, "There was a bear, big old bear, came out, and he took one of the flock. Oh, I'll tell you what. Last time I preached this, I preached on the shepherd of Israel. And Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd."
Amen. That's right.
"And then my flock know my voice, and they know my voice, and they follow me."
That's right.
"And a hireling, they don't know, they won't follow them. A hireling will flee."
Yeah.
But, amen, I'm glad David was a kind of a good shepherd.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The flock was taken out. The lamb was taken out of the flock. Amen. And David didn't turn tail and run. I believe the Spirit of the Lord came upon him just like it did Samson.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He took off after that bear. It said he grabbed him by his beard. And he said he did the lion the same way.
That's right.
And with his bare hands, just like Samson. Hey, Samson didn't have the strength of his own affair. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. I believe God just filled him for it. He took off after that bear and began to grab him by the beard. And began to take that old bear, got that lamb out of the bear's mouth, out of the lion's mouth, and he brought it back home.
Amen.
And he said he slew the lamb, and he slew the bear, and slew the lion.
Right.
He said, "This old uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them." You're talking about what they call the king of the jungle. You've seen big lions on TV in the jungles. They're huge. They're massive. Bears even bigger than those.
Right.
They're just as vicious. David took off after. He said, "Goliath ain't no worse than these."
Right.
And he began to tell Goliath, when Goliath was, boy, what you notice here, Goliath is a type of the devil.
Yes, sir.
Goliath began to rail on David, began to accuse him, began to slander him. Amen. He began to slander the people of God, began to slander Israel day after day. I'm telling you what, the accuser of the brethren does not take a rest break. Day after day, he accuses me and you before God.
Yes,
he comes at us with all kinds of fiery darts. He comes at us with all kinds of accusations. And David had just about had enough. Amen.
Right. Yes, sir.
David said, "You come out here all high and mighty with that little sword and that spear that you got. And you say you're going to feed me, my flesh, to the fowls of the air. I'll do you one better. I'm going to come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Amen. "I'm going to come against you, amen, in the name of the Lord of hosts. And by this time, in just a few minutes, the Lord's not going to only give you and your carcass to the fowls of the air. Amen. But he's going to give the whole Philistine army to the air, the carcasses to the fowls of the air as well." See, God's always surpassing the devil.
That's right.
Amen. Goliath, I'm telling you what, didn't stand a chance. And I know we're going through this plague. We've been going through it for over 2 years now. But I'm telling you what, we still got a God in heaven. Amen. It's bigger than any plague out there. Amen. If we could just find some people stand in the gap like Aaron did. Amen. When the world, when the Israelites begin to defy God, begin to go against God and murmur, complain. God opened the earth and swallowed a bunch of them, and he sent a pestilence out after them. Yeah, I think you can read it. Numbers chapter 16 is where it is, I think. Amen. But Aaron stood in the middle of them and said the plague was stayed.
Yep.
Amen. There ain't no COVID. There ain't no disease. There ain't no cancer bigger than God.
That's right.
Amen. He's still on the throne. He's still the God of hosts.
Right.
Amen. He's still a God Almighty sovereign over all the world.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Oh, we begin to be like Peter. We see everything going on. We begin to start to sink. We begin to think, oh, there's no hope. Hey, but Jesus is in the middle of the storm, amen, folks. He's out there, his arms wide open. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yes,
there's been no rest, it seems like, all this COVID stuff in the news. Everything bad's happening. All we got, we're being bombarded with all kinds of propaganda. I get tired of seeing it. I had to mute every commercial out there and turn my head, because even the mute button don't even work half as good anymore. I'm glad God's still on the throne.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad he's still in charge. I'm glad the God that David served back then, all those thousands of years ago, is still the same God today.
Yeah.
And if we call on his name and reverence him as the Lord of hosts,
yes,
amen, I believe he'll come down and deliver us. Amen.
Yes, praise the Lord.
But I want you to notice something here. David tried on that armor that Saul had. Really, they pushed it on him.
Yeah.
Boy, how much peer pressure is going on in this world today.
Yeah.
You got to be like so-and-so. Amen. You see all these commercials. They talked about these years ago where they had these supermodel girls and didn't realize that half of them were airbrushed. All the fat rolls and everything is brushed away with the software. And we see people nowadays and we begin to compare ourselves with them. We begin to think, boy, I just need to do what so-and-so over here is doing. I need to do what Troy over here is doing. I need to do what Danny's doing. I need to do what JC's doing. But I'm telling you, their armor won't fit you.
That's right.
Come on, preach it, brother.
He said, I've not proved these. I can't go. I can't go out there with these things. Let me ask you something. Whose armor are you wearing today?
Yes, sir.
That's what God has put in my heart.
Lord,
whose armor are you wearing? Amen. We find here that David couldn't go out with Saul's armor. For one thing, Saul wasn't being anointed by the Lord anymore.
Right.
Just a chapter or two before all this started happening. Amen. God took the kingdom away from Saul. And David was anointed new king of Israel. David, all he'd known all his life was a shepherd boy. When he began to come to this war, before all this happened, Jesse, his dad, sent him out with some victuals, with some food to be able to sustain the troops. And he wanted to know how they were faring. And it says that David left the flock with someone else. I believe he was keeping his brother's sheep is what it was. But he left the flock to see what was going on in the battle and deliver some victuals for him. And we find that David here was still a shepherd. That's all he ever knew.
Yep.
Amen. How do you expect a little lad who's done the shepherd all his life to go out to battle with somebody else's armor? Don't work like that.
No.
That's all he knew. But he had just graduated from being a shepherd of his father's flock to the shepherd of Israel.
Right.
Because he'd just been anointed king. God didn't expect him to quit being a shepherd. He expected him to take what he knew and use it for
that role.
Amen. I remember when Moses was out. Moses was a shepherd too. Amen. You might not know this, but Exodus chapter 3, we see Moses was out there on the back side of the desert keeping his father-in-law Jethro's flock.
Yeah.
When he seen all of a sudden a great light, and there was a bush in the middle of a fire, and it wasn't being burned up, it wasn't being consumed.
Right.
Moses said, I want to go take a look at this thing, see what this great sight is, and this burning bush is not burned up. We know that Moses was told to take his shoes off as he walked on holy ground. And he had a new job. He was still a shepherd. But he was told to shepherd a different flock.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. God asked him in the fourth chapter, verse, I think it's what it was. He said, Moses began to make excuses. Lord, who am I? I can't go out here and lead these people out of Egypt. God looked at him and said, "What's that in thy hand?"
Right.
Moses said, "A rod." He was a shepherd. He had a rod.
That's right.
He had a staff. So, Lord, how am I going to use this? This is just a staff. But God took that. He turned it into a snake.
Right.
And he turned it back into a rod. God can take the little things and make a lot more out of them. I think of the fishes and the loaves.
Right.
Little boy had his old bag lunch and brought it to the disciples. They would ask him for some meat. They said, "You need to send all these people home. Amen, because they're going to starve to death. We don't have food to feed them all." And Jesus said, "What have you got? What's in your hand? What have you got?" "Oh, we just got a few fishes and just a few loaves." Amen, that's ye of little faith, mind it, just prayer. He took that, and when it was over with, the multitude was fed, and there's 12 baskets left over. Amen, one for each disciple to take home. What is that in thine hand? You see, David never had armor. He never had to use a sword. He didn't even use a sling against the bear and the lion. He used his bare hands.
Yes, sir.
And David had a staff. The first thing he took was a staff. You see, that staff led. That staff was linked to his identity. Yeah. What he had in his hand was linked to who he was in God.
Yeah.
He had a staff in his hand. Then he began to take 5 stones out of the rook and a shepherd's bag, which he already carried anyway, and he had a sling in his hand. They were adept. I don't know if you've seen any documentaries on that, but them shepherds know how to take a sling and with pinpoint accuracy take something down. But it wasn't David. It wasn't by his might and strength that he got Goliath down. It was God. And let me tell you something. When you go in the strength and in the favor which God has already placed in your life, and don't try to pretend to be somebody else.
Yes,
God
sir.
Can take that and use it and can move mountains and can slay giants,
yes,
and can kill bears and lions and can make a way for you in life.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
But only if you got the right armor on. We know about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. I've got it bookmarked here. You guys know about it. You see, that armor fits everybody just perfectly. Amen. You got the sword of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Right.
Amen. This is one of the best defenses you'll ever have.
Sir.
Jesus used this in the wilderness when the devil came up against him. He used the Word. That was his defense, and it cut him down every time.
Yes, sir.
We got the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. Your loins girt about with truth, the helmet of salvation, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. Maybe one or two other things, the breastplate of righteousness and prayer. Everybody leaves that one out, but prayer is also mentioned in the 8th or 9th verse. Prayer is a weapon of faith. That armor fits everybody. But I'm telling you, just because I'm a preacher, just because so-and-so is a singer or something else, the armor fits everybody. But what's in their hand is not the same.
That's right.
Amen. God has called me to preach. He's called me to be a singer. Amen. And what I do, somebody else may not be able to do because that's not what God, the gift that God has given
that's
me.
Right.
But people look at me or people look at you and they begin to compare themselves. And that's exactly what the devil wants. He likes to tell you that you're less than somebody else. Amen. That you're not as good as somebody else. Amen. But I'm going to turn over here and read you something that might give you a little encouragement. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." You see, David looked like just a little runt. He was a youth. He was a weak thing. But God used that to confound the strongest man on the battlefield. 1 Corinthians again, verse chapter 12, verse 11. He begins talking about different gifts. He begins talking about different ministries. He says, "But all these worketh in that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." God gives you gifts as he will, as is fit for him to give. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Now listen to this. Like I told you a minute ago, we get the devil likes to whisper in our ear, boy, you're not as good as so-and-so, or you should be doing this that this other person's doing. You know, it says here, if the foot shall say, behold, I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? In other words, if my foot sees my hand doing something thinking, oh, I'd like to be able to do that. Is it any less part of my body because it's not doing what the hand does? I don't know about you, but this right here prevents me from walking on my hands. Ain't no way you're getting this boy on my hands to walk around. My feet's got to do that job.
Yes, sir. My day, brother.
Some of your feet. Some of your hands.
Right.
Some of your ears.
Yes, sir.
All these different individual members of the body. He's using a physical carnal thing to create, to give a spiritual point.
Right. Yes, amen.
He says, if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Common sense. If the whole body were an eye, where's the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where's the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him.
Praise the Lord.
You know, God can use what we have in our hands if we'll just surrender it to Him. We'll just give it to Him. He knows how to use it. He knows what we have need of. David here had to use what he knew. And yes, he was a little ruddy. Even his brothers began to condemn him when he got to the scene. They began to say, well, I know what's in your heart. You're just here to get a good look at all this, and you just want to be, you know, Mr. Goody Two-Shoes bringing everybody food. No, he was doing what was in his heart. What God had anointed him. God told Jeremiah, before I even formed you in the womb, I ordained thee to be a prophet among the nations. I'm glad to know that before we ever knew that we had a child to come, God's ordained him for something.
That's right.
He's ordained every one of us for something.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Just because I ain't the eye don't mean I'm not good enough to be in the body of Christ. Just because I ain't the foot don't mean I ain't good enough. Amen. God has got something for everybody out there if they'll just listen and be willing to receive it.
Yes, sir.
And that's the key.
Yes, sir.
Jesus came to His own received Him not. You must receive it for it to become applicable in your life.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of times I don't know about you, Troy, but I have some of the toughest times receiving some things that God tells me to do.
Yeah.
Lord, really? Do you really mean that? Is this really what I need to be doing?
Yes,
a lot of times it's hard to discern. That's when you just got to get back to the Bible. You just got to get back
sir.
On your knees. You got to get to talking to God.
Amen.
Say, Lord, these are my hands. What's in my hands? Use me. Show me where to go, what to do. But I think you seriously consider whose armor you're wearing. And there's something else I wrote down here. I wanted to let you know. When David put off the armor that Saul tried to put on him, and he began to use what we would think of as the weaker vessels, the little spear, the little sling, David wasn't compromising. I want you to get that really close. David didn't compromise.
That's right.
When he did what God wanted him to do.
That's right.
And it feels like today in the church world we're living in,
come on,
there's a lot of compromise.
Yes, sir.
Oh, we've got to do what they tell us, or we've got to do this, or we've got to do that. Well, let me ask you, what saith the word of the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, it tells us, amen, to be in respect of those that are in higher than us and in authority. And it says that they're going to be the ones to answer to God because they have that option and that opportunity and that responsibility to govern the nation. But I'm telling you, when it goes against God's word, and it goes against,
yes,
I'm just going to just go where everybody lives. Amen. Let me just tell you, when it comes to homosexuality and it comes to abortion and things that are clearly out of the will of God and disgust Him, amen, and are called an abomination in God's word, amen, scripture and verse, I can take it all of it, amen, then we shouldn't be tolerating that.
That's right, amen.
We are Christians, children of the living God, yet we act like we're some pups.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you what, David didn't compromise. Amen. When Goliath came, amen, we got all kinds of Goliaths and all kinds of things that this world comes against
us. Yes,
sir. Amen. It's an important thing that you pick your battles wisely.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Because we can't just, amen, go on our own and begin to try to fight every battle that's out there. Amen. But God will put it on your heart what battles to, that you need to turn over to Him and what battles you need to get suited up for. Amen.
That's right.
But we shouldn't compromise Him. There should be no compromise when it comes to the Word of God.
Amen.
I think of, I remember, I don't know how many of us remember this, but I remember it just comes back to my mind. Thinking about earlier today, old Columbine. Remember that school, one of the first school shootings that really started it all.
Yeah.
Amen. They lined them up, from what I remember. They lined everyone up and they held a gun to their face. I believe it was a machine gun. And asked every one of them, do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? I don't know how many of them said no, but there was one named Cassie. She said, yes, I believe in God. And they gunned her down. Let me tell you something. If that comes your fate, you better trust God with all you got. Amen. Because once that bullet's in front of you, once that gun's in front of you, amen, all they can do is send you to your reward that much quicker.
That's right.
Amen. I thank God for being able to have just a little bit of time that I had with Brother Carl. Amen. Before cancer took him out of this world. I'm telling you what, I believe he didn't compromise. I believe he was faithful unto death. Amen. I believe he was looking forward to his reward. Amen. And if COVID comes and gets every one of us, we better rejoice because God is still on the throne. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
He's still a God of hosts. We can't let COVID, we can't let the government, we can't let anything else try to downplay God's authority.
Yes, sir.
And who He is. When you go studying the names of God, I want you to notice something. David called God a specific name. He didn't call Him just any name. He didn't just say, Lord. Amen. When you look up the original Greek, he called Him the Lord, or the original Hebrew, he called Him the Lord of hosts. I don't mean, I've got it written down somewhere, but all the different names of God. There was Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Rapha. All these different names for God mean something. And he began to invoke the name of God for this particular situation. He was saying, God, I know you are this God. I know you're the God of hosts. I know you're the God that heals. I know you're the God that delivers. I know you're the God that provides. Hey, man, I know you're all that I need because you are I am that I am.
That's right. Amen.
Be careful whose army you're wearing. Somebody come get a song. Whose armor are you wearing? Do you feel like something don't quite fit? Something just feels a little uncomfortable. Feels a little odd. You know what it's like when you start growing out of your pant sizes? I do. It just ain't quite the same. Time to change something. Spiritually, if you feel uncomfortable, if you feel that way, if something's knocking on your heart's door, if that spirit is convicting you of something, it's time to get that armor off and put on God's armor and start seeking God where He's placed you to grow. Go ahead and sing. God's grace is sufficient for every one of us. Well, thank you for your attention tonight. Thank you for the invitation. And just to clarify, I ain't making a lot of COVID. I know it's a bad thing. I had it. I know. I've already had a mild feel of it.
No good.
And it ain't fun at all. Millions, at least a million, I think, people have died from it by now, I think.
Yeah.
So it's not something to be taken light of. But I'm telling you, that's a giant. And God can overcome giants.
Right.
He's done it before. And we should not bow to COVID. Too many people are bowing to COVID.
Yeah.
They're calling COVID the idol that it really is. They're lifting it above God. And anything that's above God is an idol, folks.
That's right. Amen.
Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Thank God for being here.